Well, today we conclude our time in the book of Proverbs, as we've been looking at Proverbs, because the BBS has been God's wisdom, the Sun River Canyon Adventure for the month of July. The BBS and youth have been going on while we've been in here, learned many things through the book of Proverbs. Thanks to all those who helped make this year's VBS a success. You know, it's a lot of work, a lot to do before and while it's going on, and then the cleanup afterwards. Thank all of those for participating. We've had tents and pony rides, and we made ice cream sundaes and a photo booth. And today we conclude with a picnic that I hope you'll all be able to attend. Just by way of review, we started out realizing that the Proverbs, the value of Proverbs, the value of God's instruction, the value of God's wisdom, and that Proverbs are not just pithy sayings, they're not just cool things to throw out there or to pin on your refrigerator, but it is God's instruction for life. It tells us what life is like and how to cope with it. They form character. Specifically, Proverbs are directed toward the young, and many times you'll hear the writer speaking to his children, "My son, do this, my son, do that." We learned the value of wisdom, of God's word in this world, and the memory verse that the kids had was Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Now, there's many places to get instruction, especially in this day and age. I'm sure you do what I do. The other day, I was having a hard time trying to figure out something with my automatic garage door, and I got the instruction book, and I looked at it for about 15 seconds, and then I just got on Google, and somebody had a YouTube video and showed me exactly what to do. And we go there, right, for lots of good things and instruction and help. But in life, and you remember we talked about Solomon and we read that text today. Our lectionary provided us with that reading where Solomon had the choice. Anything that he wanted, he could have, God would give him. And he asked that God would give him wisdom. God would help him. Help him make decisions and understand this world and this life. We then went into week two, as you recall, with our pony here and the pony rides, and we looked at King Agur's wisdom about four animals, right? Four little animals that are small and not very impressive, but they are wise. The ant, the rock badger, the locust, and the lizard. And we specifically, our kids learned about choosing wise companions. We need companions in life. You remember the locust, who was nothing by himself, the grasshopper, but with companions, he was a force. And we need companions. We need each other. But the wisdom of Proverbs is choose your companions wisely. Proverbs 13:2 was the memory verse that day for our kids. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Today there are many sitting in prison cells because they were the companion of fools. And so choose your companions wisely. And the story was of David and Jonathan, and how Jonathan brought a blessing to David's life, his friend Jonathan. And last week we discovered that Proverbs has so much to say about relationships, different kinds of relationships, but specifically restoring relationships. And we had the story of David and Saul, and David hiding in the cave, Saul trying to kill him. David, who had done nothing wrong, who had every right to kill Saul, who was entitled to the throne, promised the throne by God. He did nothing wrong, and he had the opportunity to get him. Nobody would blame him, and he did not. He did not Love covers a multitude of sins. And in that story, we saw Jesus' love for us. We saw the cross and the resurrection and what Jesus did for us and restored our relationship with God and how we restore relationships with one another. Now, in our memory verse, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Well, this is our final week, and we have a very familiar memory verse. That's one that I'm sure you all know, maybe even your favorite. I write this in many times in a graduation card for a young person or in the leaf of a Bible that we give away. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And along with this verse today, the kids will be learning about four examples, four instances, four times in the life of Peter, where Peter had to trust Jesus with all of his heart. And four times that he had to learn, and he almost made it. And we start with a day in Matthew chapter 14. It's right after John the Baptist is killed, and Jesus is in grief. And it tells us that Jesus went to a mountain to be alone and to pray. He was in grief. But the crowds followed him. They followed him because of their needs. And so what happened that day is that Jesus healed their sick. How many, we don't know, but all day of it, probably hundreds of them. And Peter is there, of course, the disciples are there, and they're watching this. And when nightfall comes, they say, "Well, Lord, this is a desolate place. There's no food here. What are we going to do?" Now, after witnessing a day of miracles, a day of it, "Lord, we're in a desperate, desolate place. There's nothing here. There aren't provisions. There isn't any sustenance. Man, it's desolate here. No fruit trees or any kind of water, nothing. Send them home. Send them home so they can get something to eat." Really quite remarkable that they watched all that and still did not trust totally. They did not trust. He did not trust in the desolate place. And you know, of course, what happens with the loaves and the fishes, and they watch that miracle unfold. And nightfall comes the same day. Jesus, again, needs to grieve. He goes off by himself. And they leave in the boat across the Galilee. And the storm comes in. And they see Jesus walking across the water. They're afraid. They're terrified. The wind's blowing. They realize it's the Lord. Peter realizes it's the Lord. And he starts to walk out. Starts out well. But then he sinks. He sinks. "O ye of little faith," Jesus says. No trust in the desolate place and no trust in the sinking place. The sinking place. You ever been there? Still struggling. From there, we look at Peter, and the lesson goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's the night of the betrayal, and the servants of the high priest come, and the armed guards to come after Jesus and his disciples. And Peter reaches for a sword and cuts off the ear of one of these servants, Malchus. He cuts his ear off. And so now we find Peter in the fearful place. They say that when fear comes into your life, there's three things that happen. Either there's flight, right? Flight. Or you freeze, or you fight. You run from it, or you freeze up, right? The old deer in the headlights. You freeze, or you fight. And Peter decides that in the fearful place, he's going to take matters into his own hands. He's going to fix this. He's going to make it right. And he takes a sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus. No trust in the fearful place. And finally, the story ends up on Easter morning, at the tomb. And you know the story well, the people that are involved. And the interesting thing about the resurrection morning is that, you know, Mary is there, the women are there, and Mary interacts with Jesus, and what Peter and John run, and John tells us that he ran in, he saw the grave clothes, and it says that he says that disciple believed. Right? John believed. But what about Peter? Peter, it just says that Peter went home. It was Easter. It was the resurrection. He knew what was going to happen. Jesus told him what was going to happen. 3 years of living with him and witnessing these things. But in the empty place, no trust. Now, some of us believe some of the times maybe, or we think that it's a give or take situation. I'll believe this, I won't believe that. Pick and choose. Jesus can control some of the things. God can have my heart in this matter, but in other matters, you know, maybe if it's money or something else, I think I'll take charge of that. And we do what Peter did, right? We sort of pick and choose, and the writer of the Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that's difficult to do. It's difficult to do. You know the story of a man who went over the cliff, right? He fell over the cliff and he went down 500 feet and he was hanging from a branch and there's 500 feet below him. And he's hanging there. And he's yelling and screaming, help, 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 is there anybody up there? And all of a sudden there's a voice. He says, this is God. Let go and trust me. And the guy says, is there anybody else up there? That's how we feel. John Ortberg is a popular writer and preacher. Maybe you've read some of his stuff over the years. John Ortberg is a better man than me, I'll tell you that, because he did a sermon called Letting Go on this very text, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But in order to prepare for this sermon, John decided to go to a place called the Circus Center and enter into trapeze classes. That's got to be a California thing, right? The Circus Center. I mean, they're not doing this in Western Pennsylvania. But John Ortberg went to the Circus Center and took trapeze lessons. Now, I believe I'm preparing for a sermon, okay? But that's really going all in. Letting go was the sermon that he preached. And he said this about his experience of learning to fly on the trapeze. In this class, the most important person to me is the catcher. He gives me a whole set of instructions. He tells me that when the moment comes to get caught, I am to look for him, to stretch out my arms toward him, and then to hold my hands perfectly still with my thumbs as far from my fingers as I can. My only job in that moment is to give him a good target. I am placing my life in his hands. I am trusting that when the moment comes, he will catch me, and he will be able to catch me. And so Ortberg says, you have to, you know, you've watched them on, you climb up that rope ladder and it's way up there, right? Way up there. And there's that little platform. And he says, you go up that ladder and you're up there on that little platform in the middle of nowhere, swinging on that pole. And your instincts are to lean back, right? That's what you do. That's what I do. You want to lean back. But the catcher says this, no, lean out. You must get up there and lean out. And don't worry. I'll get you. A number of years ago, there was an interview with the head trapeze artist with a group. I'm not sure if they're still alive or they're still around. I think they're German. They're called the Flying Rodlers. And it's a family that they're trapeze artists. And in the interview, the leader of the troupe said this: "As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I'm the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump. The secret," Rodler said, "is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything." The catcher does everything. And so, in the desolate place, God can provide. He can provide. In the sinking place, a long way from land, it says the disciples were a long way from land, and they were sinking. Trust him. In the fearful place, I know our instincts may be to take control, to get out of the jam. We know what to do. We can figure it out. And in the empty place, like Abraham, against all hope, he believed in hope. 100 years old, you're going to be a father. No. I'm empty. Trust in the Lord. Stretch out your hands to the catcher.